Hashem, on the one hand, is called He's in the Heichel. Number two, Hashem is in the heaven. In the first reference, we just refer to Hashem as in His holy Heichel. In the second, we refer to Hashem's throne. Galui v'yodua lifnei chisei chivoydecha. Hashem has two different locations. Hashem lahavil elif alfei havdolos on with all of the exponents that can exist in this world. Look at the President of the United States. He has two different locations. The White House and Delaware. Just joking. President, you know, he was in Delaware this year 31 times. He went for Shabbos. Every Shabbos he goes to Delaware for 31 times at a cost of $3 million just for security. Just for security each time he goes to Delaware for Shabbos. No, the Agudah convention, of course, I think only $250,000 for 2,000 people. That's how much they pay. The whole event. If I'm not mistaken, it costs approximately $250,000. That's what it costs them. I mean, they collect, they make a lot of money on it. Obviously, people have to pay a lot of money, they raise money. But to rent a hotel, the Hilton, Parsippany, for a Shabbos, is about, it's in the tune of $250,000 for approximately 2,000 people, even more, who come and go, the whole network thing. The present, one person goes away for Shabbos, $3 million. Just in security. We're not talking about all the other services. And who pays for it on my side?
You pay for it.
Not me.
Pay for everything.
Okay, 31 times this year. So, that was a start point, let's say from what we can relate to, the President of the United States, when his place is in the Oval Office, the White House, it's a house. I'm surprised they didn't change it to call the Black House in this generation.
Wait,
soon enough. So shocked they don't protest. How could it be that it's called the White House? Such a racist statement to call it the White House. What a thing. How could you stay called it? Unbelievable. They didn't make a machoya.
The blacks wanted to be the Black House, right? And the Indians wanted to be the Red House. And the Asians wanted to be the Yellow House. So.
Wait and see. You're going to see one day they're going to be the political career. They're going to change that term. You wait and see. In any event, now you know people are impossible. They said this on the Palestinians, and it's true about these people also. The Arabs. I'm sorry, the Arabs. When there's nothing, if you would give the Arabs the whole Eretz Yisrael, if every Jew in Eretz Yisrael would just, okay, we'll go move, we'll go to Uganda, we'll leave, and they'll have the whole land, would they be satisfied?
No.
If in this country, they will remove every white person in this country, will they be satisfied? No. They will never, ever, this. No. What are they going to do? They'll figure out something else to do. When you, the Chazal say, when you deal with something like this, Chazal of the Yetzer Hara, there is nothing you can possibly do dealing with an entity that can never, ever be satisfied. But you know how you satisfy it? You give it zero. Chazal say about the person's reproductive organ. The more you give it,
the more it wants.
The more it wants. It is impossible to satisfy it. And therefore, how do you satisfy it? An entity like that, you give it nothing. You give it mamish, you give it the bare minimum, you give it nothing. I mean, but this is a concept. And in the world at large, when you're dealing with people, any type of situation, we're dealing with the Arab is dealing with these type of people, and you have to go look, okay, what do you want? What could we give you to bring you satisfaction? So a normal person, you know, I want to make a settlement. I'll make a settlement. You give them something. And they're happy. They're satisfied. Okay, so we'll give it to you. But if you're dealing with an entity that can never, ever, ever be satisfied, don't even try. Don't even give them a mashu. That's what Chazal say. Obviously, Chazal, they're not reading what Chazal say. They're not interested. Any event, I was afraid we had Kadosh Baruch Hu. I always like to focus on this point at Kadosh Baruch Hu. Then let's say in the United States, but we'll have Elif Alfa Dollars. We have a president, where is his home? His home is in the Oval Office. Mm-hmm. However, when he travels, he has, they call Air Force One. Okay, his vehicle, there's a code name, everyone knows, it's called the Beast. What kind of Russian is that called the Beast? there's a nusach for when the president is in motion, when he is not at, when he's at the Oval Office, some Air Force One, Marine One, the beast. By the Ribbono Shel Olam, Lahavdil Elef Alfei Havdalos, there's also these two concepts. Hashem has a kisei, and Hashem has a merkava. Maisei merkava. What does it mean, maisei merkava? Hashem left Kaviyacha, whatever these terms mean, he left his kisei, he left his abode in Shemayim, and he's in motion, he has traveled to this world. He has traveled to Bavel. The Shekhinah is in Bavel with Yechezkel. Maasei Merkava, Merkava, that is a term which stands in contrast to the kisei. Hashem is Yoshev ala kisei. Just to get an appreciation, we look at the head of state in the United States. There is the president is sitting in the Oval Office. He's Yoshev al Kisei. And then the president, for whatever reason. And then there is when the president is traveling. Where is he traveling? Whatever it has to be. When he travels, wherever he's traveling, that's where the power of his office resides. It's in Air Force One. They saw a documentary of Air Force One. It's fascinating, utterly fascinating. Even Marine One is fascinating. The Beast is fascinating. These are all incredible things. Who knows how much money they put into these things? And this is the seat of the most powerful leader in this world, world power. He's now in his Merkava. When he's at home in the White House, in the Oval Office, he is al kisei. By the Ribbono Shel Olam, Kaviyachol Lahavdil Elef Alfei Havdalos, the same thing. There's a term called Hashem is in the Merkava. Maasei Merkava on Yechezkel.
Big difference. All these vehicles are to protect him. They're afraid someone will kill him. That's why they put so much money in them.
Okay, but okay, that's a side point.
You would have a throne or a charity or something if you're not afraid. And if
okay,
you
that's
a
look.
Up,
the White House also.
To look at you.
The White House is also fortified with who knows what. With who knows what they provide. But on Air Force, what I once saw a documentary on Air Force One, they have a communication system like none other in the world. And the president, in a moment's notice from the Air Force One, can contact literally any. They can call right here, any person in the world. Have access to all of the resources of the government, no different than what they have in the White House. There's automobile as well. Or they put it besides, or you say, or may of course, they have all this protection technology and bulletproof.
I remember, I think, when was the subway World Series? 50 something?
2000.
No, it was running for the 50s. Eisenhower came to Dodger Stadium. And he rode from Dodger Stadium, maybe to the airport, rode down Bedford Avenue. We were in Yeshiva, we were in fourth grade, and he rode in an open Cadillac.
Open Kennedy.
Yeah.
Right.
Open car.
Okay, open car. Those days are long gone. Long over.
It's the last thing he did.
Those days are long over. In any event, over here, whenever you mention the word kisei by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to stop and pause. And that represents a principle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is al mikoymoy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the comfort of his home. What does that mean exactly? Who knows what that means? But when you contrast that to the Merkava, it gives it more flavor. Because if you don't understand the difference between the kisei and the merkava, oh Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. We know that Hashem, there's no place in the world where Hashem's presence does not extend. Yet, although that is true, there's an intensity of Hashem's presence. And you cannot compare the intensity of Hashem's presence at the Kisei HaMaravi today versus Hashem's presence in this room. Okay, this room is a Makam Kadosh, it's not Kadosh, this is Shekhinah, people are learning, it's a Makam Kadosh, but you can't compare the Kedusha in this room to the Kedusha, to Hashem's presence, the intensity of Hashem's presence at the Kaisel HaMaravi. You can dive into Hashem here, and you can dive into Hashem at the Kaisel HaMaravi. Davening is davening, but it's different. It's a different dimension of Hashem's presence. And likewise, Hashem's frame of mind. What does that mean? I don't know. I'm going to say words which make no sense. But Hashem's frame of mind. When a person is at home, you're in a different frame of mind than when you are traveling. When you're in a hotel, you go away for a business meeting, you go for an event, you go somewhere, you go to a simcha, and you're in a hotel, you're in a different frame of mind. Someone calls you up and they want to talk to you. You know, right now I'm not settled. I'm not settled. I don't have everything that I'm used to. Wait until I get back home and then we'll talk. I'm not in that frame of mind. When Hashem is in his Merkava, although Hashem has access to all of his resources, it's not the same as being home, Yoshev al Kisa. So here when it says, whenever it says the word Kisa, you have to pause and pay attention. We say this every day, many times a day, Asher Yotza. Asher Yotza, Goluy v'yodua l'fnei Kisei Chivodecha. Okay, what does that mean exactly? Okay, I don't know that. We discuss this over time, different ideas, but it's a term which certainly awakens you. It's a curious term. And in the context of every time it's used, it's understood with a different flavor. And here Hashem b'ashamayim kisoy, ein of yechazu, his eyes see. Hashem has eyes. And then it says afapov, afapov yivchanu bnei adam. What does it mean afapov? Afapov means his eyelids. Now it's interesting because it doesn't say the pupil. It says the eyelids yivchanu are testing bnei adam. What? The eyelids test? Who ever heard of that? The eyelids. What is the purpose from a medical point of view? Why did Hashem create eyelids? What are the eyelids for? The eye.
Protection.
Okay, we have protection. Pupils, right? That's what I always thought. But that's not really the ishon bas oyin. The ishon is the pupil. He had on the daf yesterday. Yesterday's daf, or 2 days ago, was about are you allowed on chol hamoyed mesechta moikatin, a thing called the ishon, the ishus. So what is the ishus? Ishus is a blind. A blind
doesn't see the daylight.
Why is it called an ishus? Because it's like the pupil of the eye. It's the word. This creature that is blind basically doesn't see. It's a play on the word like Russian saginar. The pupil of the eye is where the sight, the koyach of ri'iyah, is found. And when you're dealing with a creature that cannot see, its unique characteristic is that it's blind. And that's the essence of this creature, that it's a creature that has no sight. So it's, you know, many times words, as we discussed many times, they are manipulated to go 180 degrees. If the word ishoin, aleph yud shin, means is the root of the eye, the koich of ri'ir in the eye, and we want to describe a creature that cannot see, we take those same exact letters and we manipulate its vowels to indicate there is no sight. It's blind. The ish called the ishus. That's what we want, the ishus. So these are the things that cannot pass. So here we have the word afapov. Does not mean the pupil. It means the lid. The lid, okay, we have to see, the lid provides protection. It probably does cleansing. Every time the eye is closed, it is. Hashem made a person in such a way that every few seconds, I don't know the statistics, the eyes close. It's impossible. The eyes have to close every. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create a person in such a way? I have no idea. Obviously, there are some very profound deep reasons. It has to be like that. But it's also interesting that it gives the person also has the ability, if he so chooses, to close his eyes and not see. Every part of the body, a person, if he really wants, he can shut down. He can close his eyes, he can close his mouth, and he can close his ears by putting his pinkies into his ears.
Earlobes.
Okay, you can't do that. You can't do that with your mind. You have to do it. You have to do it. You know, with your body, you have to engage. But it's a very fascinating thing. The only thing was also a sneezing. A person sneezes,
it's impossible to keep your eyes open. It is, it's dangerous. Don't even try to close, to try to. It's natural that when a person sneezes, his eyes close. It's a natural reflex. That's, the brain is hardwired. When you sneeze, you automatically close your eyes. And it's basically impossible not to. And the person tries very hard to keep his eyes open when he sneezes, he's asking for a lot of trouble. He's really trying to damage his brain by doing so. And that's an amazing phenomenon. Why is it so that when a person sneezes, his eyes close? And if you learn Chazal, it's very simple, because in ancient times, before Abraham, maybe, I don't remember before who.
Yeah.
How did a person die? He sneezed. When a person sneezed, that's it. He's dead. That's the way a person died. People didn't get sick; they just sneezed, and that he was dead. So when he sneezed, the eyes closed. Death is described as Hu yoshes yodoi al einecho. He will put his hands on your eyes. He will be there at the time of your death. Person dies, his eyes just they shut. So if you go back to ancient times, when a person sneezed, he died. That's why it's still programmed into our physical metzius that it must be your eyes closed when a person sneezes. And one of the others was mispalo that it's not a good idea. People need time to put their house in order, and they need to be able to, you know, to evaluate, to shut down in this world. So therefore, Hashem invented an industry that's worth trillions of dollars called sickness. Choli. A slow process, and that took away the curse of sneezing and just dying suddenly. Here we don't have the word. Here we have. There is these terms which we need to discuss. Let's look at the Mitzudah Estava Pasuk Dal, page 96. 97, page 97. Hashem Behechal Kodesho Avsha Hashem Magbia Losheves Behechal Kodesho Asher Bashamayim. Im Kol Zim Nukol Shparuch, he elevates himself to go and reside in his holy abode, which is in heaven. Im Kol Zeh Mashpil Einav, he lowers his eyes, Lerois, to see Baritz, Livchoin, to examine. Okay, I said the word test, which is a cousin, but here the way the Mitzudah Stava translates the word is to examine. To examine, to scrutinize, Masei b'nei Adam v'yodehu b'shelemi hara'a. Hashem knows who is misbehaving, who is causing harm to this world. This is all about tzaddik v'ra'alei rosh v'tovloi. And Hashem is there for the Mitzudah Stava. He learns over here the pasuk in a very, very important way. These are just not statements of fact. This Kadosh Baruch Hu is that this is a very common mistake that wicked people present, that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so exalted, so elevated, so much above this world, why would Hashem waste his time with dealing with us, these lowly creatures, these feeble, lowly creatures? That's not true. That is kapikorsis. And David HaMelech makes that statement very, very clear. Although it is correct that Hashem is exalted beyond our comprehension, Hashem is Behechal Kocho, his holy abode. Hashem is Bashamayim Kiso. There is poetic repetition describing Kadosh Baruch Hu's exaltedness. Yet, Hashem, part of his greatness is that he does inquire. There is Hashkocha Pratis. He did not just create this world and leave. Hashem is intimately involved in the dealings and happenings of this world. Yet, Einav, his eyes, Yechazu, they see every little thing. Af Apak, his eyelids, Yivchanu, are scrutinizing, yes. B'nei Adam. Again, the word Af Apav is Kain Yikorei Ishoin Ho Ayin. Now that's a chidush nifla for the Mitzvah stuff to say the word. The Af Apav are the pupil of the eye. He's translating over here the word Af Apav as the pupil of the eye. Okay, so both terms here refer to Hashem is gazing. Hashem is scrutinizing.
Monitoring
everything that you're doing. Someone, there are cameras wherever you go today. Is that good or bad?
Depends. Well, who's behind the camera.
Well, they say, the government says, well, if you're behaving yourself, there's nothing to worry about.
Yeah, right.
It's not true. It's not really true. you can be behaving yourself, and if they don't agree with you, it's not necessarily so true. But Hashem is watching everything that you do. Kisa ain't of yet two different terms. If you'd want to be poetic and you'd want to match up, so you'll be early on Zecher Levracha. I can't believe he's saying that. Zecher Levracha, he passed away. He was very big into this, very big into ABC, CBA. You have a pasuk. Every pasuk you put up, you have to put the pasuk in mathematical terms. So here there are two terms. Hashem is beheichal kodesh. That's A. Hashem bashamayim kiso. That's B. And now we have einav yechezu and afapov yivchanu bnei adam. So match them up. Is it ABAB or is it ABBA? When it says enough his eyes yechazu, you can argue that's an A. That's going back to modify Hashem beheichal kodesho. In Hashem's heichal, Hashem is looking yechazu. He is gazing with his eyes. Hashem b'shamayim kisoy. When Hashem is sitting on his throne, there he uses his afapov. Different terms. And each term has its own depth of meaning. AB. And if you put A to A and B to B, it will obviously open up for you a very deep idea of what exactly is the difference in Hashem's attitude, Hashem's frame of mind, when he is in his heichal. What does that mean? I don't know what that means. These are Kabbalistic things. And what does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is al kisei? What does that mean? Hashem mitzad echad, he's in his heichal. What is he doing? He's going for a stroll. What is he doing? He's sitting there having a Diet Coke. And what is he doing in the heichal? And then when he's in his kisei, what does that mean? He's learning Gemara. What does it mean? Obviously, these things are very deep concepts. But there is a situation where HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes himself from our perspective, our extremely, extremely limited perspective as Hashem being in his heichal. And then there is a focus of describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being al kisei. And when Hashem is in his heichal, Hashem looks at this world with the terminology einav yechezu. And when Hashem is al kisei on his throne, the terminology used to describe his activity is afapav, with his the pupil of the eye yivchanu. He is scrutinizing bnei adam, or monitoring, whatever term you want to use. Okay, or maybe the other way around.
It's not active.
Oh, okay. So these are ideas which are over my head, obviously. But at least to appreciate that there are four different parts of this pasuk, A, B, and it would appear that the next two sections is not just C, D, but rather it's an A, B, and you match one to the other, and that opens up a world of interpretation. And who says it's A, B? Maybe it's A, B, A. We have that very, very often. You know, you have certain styles. There are certain styles of writing. And he was unique. I think he was the only, he told me he was the only one, you know, he never saw this anywhere else. He might have wrote a whole book, a whole safe, whole kuntras on this, where you take psukim and put them, just like a whole paragraph, write in code, A, B, C, CBA, right? Just to put everything in mathematical terms to get a flavor of what exactly is the structure of this section. So let's see now how the Rashi learns. Rashi pasuk dalet Hashem echol kodesho haroye uvoichin maasechem. Hashem who is in his echol kodesho, he's right. Rashi here is coming to attach this to the pasuk who sees and is boichin. He's both words. Rashi puts together immediately both terms. He is the eyes. He's looking with the eyes, and he's being boichein ma'asechem. The afal pi, even though shebashamayim kiso gavoa einov yechezu eschem baretz. The same idea as the mitzudo stavet. Although HaKadosh Baruch Hu is extremely exalted, he's beyond. He's very, very high. Nevertheless, it's not beneath Hashem's honor to look down and scrutinize, monitor the activities of this world. They're both pretty much saying the same exact thing. Look over here at the very bottom of the page 9, at the very bottom. Hashem el kodesho, Hashem el shem kiso, mochon l'shiftecha. Hashem's dwelling place. Ze echad min hadvarim shehu keneged shel mala. Shekisei shel mata hu mechuvin keneged kisei shel mala. V'hachi amar, the Beis Hamikdash. The Beis, this is in the Shura, last week's parish of the Shura. Machoin l'shiftecha koinenu yodecha. The machon, a dwelling, the purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim Kriyas Yamzit was to bring us to Eretz Yisrael, to build the Beis Hamikdash, a machon. A machon means an abode for your sitting, for your presence, for your dwelling. So here Chazal say, whatever we have here in this world is a parallel to what exists in Shammai. There's a lot going on there. No one ever came back to tell us. I was reading over here, some sefer, you know, tells you this Kabbalistic stuff. A person came, a dream, whatever. What goes on in Shemayim? I can't tell you. But I'll tell you. It's always that same pattern. We're not allowed to say what goes on in Shemayim, but I'll tell you anyway. And it is, who knows if this stuff is authentic now, whatever. It's very similar. The same way in this world, there are many yeshivas, there are many shuls. In Shemayim, there are many communities. There are communities in Shemayim. And there are many different types of yeshivas. And the tainug is enormous. And depending upon a person's madrega, he goes to certain places. And some people, this is a little scary, some people didn't behave in this world. And the most they get to do in the next world is they get to stand outside of Beis Medrash and they can listen. But they can't come in. They can't come into the Beis Medrash to actually participate, but they let them stand outside through a window. You can listen and you can take delight in the concert. You know, I once went to a concert. I went to a concert years ago and we came late. They did not let us in. They did not let us in. You want to come in to the concert in the middle of the and you're going to walk down the steps to go to your seat in this big theater? Oh, what's that? You can't. You have to wait until the break. What's the break called?
Intermission.
And we had to wait there for an hour until because you're going to walk down and disturb the people who are sitting and enjoying the concert. Can you imagine davening? You come late to davening, you come in the middle of Pesukei the Zimra. You can't just walk in. People are davening Pesukei the Zimra. You're going to disturb the concentration.
At Kosovitsky, you couldn't walk in the middle of the city.
You weren't allowed to.
Absolutely not. What was
left?
With the guard.
It's amazing. Oh, I remember, so it was also my cousin, Mayor, Rabbi Dr. Mayor Yaakov Soloveitchik. He's now the rabbi of the Spanish Portuguese synagogue. So he was installed as the rabbi maybe even 10 years ago. So it's already been a very, very long time. I don't know exactly, or less. So I went to the installation and I literally came as it started. Okay, you know, I'm not so good to navigate to find parking in Manhattan, Central Park. You know, I should have left a little bit earlier. And this shul, you know, there are billionaires who are associated with the shul. And in this shul, every politician, it was Joe Lieberman, at that time, he was very prominent at that time. He was still a senator. And he was the guest speaker. And there were senators, and there were Choshe Rabbanim, the president of the Yeshiva University, Richard Joel was there, and Rabbi Dr. Nur Lim was there, and the whole gamut, you name it, you go through, I mean, from beginning to end. Even though on Shabbos there aren't too many people, unfortunately, that you know, unfortunately it's a different type of community, but it was a big event, and I came Amish as they started. And as I came, they shut the doors. No, starting now, you cannot, there were plenty of seats, there were seats. No, starting now, cannot walk in the middle. Cannot walk in. That's it. It's not their heretz. You want to go? You gotta go all the way upstairs to the galley to go over there. You can go, but you cannot walk in into the main room. This is a very powerful Musa Haskell. That's right. If you don't come on time, you want to just walk in, stroll in, and it's a lack of derech eretz for the event that you are participating in. Now, how do we get to that? We look here at the bottom. The bottom over here is a parallel. Everything's a parallel. In this world is a me'ain of what exists in the other world. If in this world we have many bati kinosios, bati midrashos, and we have a principle of there are certain people that are allowed to enter, and there are people that are not allowed to enter, and you sit, people sit in the front, sit in the side. These are all things to remind us that in the next world, we have to have emuna that there are a lot of similarities and parallels to these principles. And it's a chazal. This is the chazal. Chazal said in the Beis Hamidrash, it's called the mochon l'shiv ticha. What's the significance of this term? Because in Shemayim, Hashem has a shivisa. Hashem has a kise. Hashem has a hechal. Ze echad min hadvarim. This pasuk, this is what it says in the Mechilta. Shu kineged shel ma'alo. Of what goes on in Shemayim. She kise shel mata. Hashem's throne lamata, which refers to Hashem, refers to the Beis HaMikdash. Shomato hu mechuvan, it is parallel. Kineged kise shel ma'alo. V'hochi omer v'Hashem beheichal kodshoi. Hashem is in his heichal kodshoi. Hashem b'shamayim kison. This is the pasuk. This pasuk of yours is coming. What he's saying over here, is something very powerful. We start off today by noting that there's just poetic repetition. Hashem in Shemayim is in heaven. And there are two different ways we're going to describe Hashem as abode in heaven. Hashem in Chakosh, Hashem in Shemayim Kiso. According to this Mechilta, it's a very beautiful Mechilta. No, we're describing this world, that's A, and B, we're describing the other world in Shemayim. And it's Zeh, Le'umaz, everyone knows that Yushalayim Shalmala is Mechuvim Kedeg Yushalayim Shalmata. Zeh, Le'umaz, it's Rashi and Chumash. Every Yisoid is in Rashi and Chumash. Yushalayim Shalmala is, that's why it's called, some say it's Peloshon Rabin. A Yud and a Mem at the end of a word connotes plural. Rabin. The Yushalayim Shalmala is Kedeg Yushalayim Shalmata is Mechuvim Kedeg Yushalayim Shalmala. And here we are, Hashem Shemayim Kisoy is this, Abheichal Kodshoy is this world. And Hashem's presence on this world is Mechuvan Kineged, the words Bashamayim Kisoy, Hashem Bashamayim Kisoy is where Hashem Shemayim resides in Shemayim. There is a parallel between this world and the next world. And that's very important. It's important for so many ways, because it gives Hashivas to this world. To appreciate that this world is not just a junkyard. This world is a microcosm of what goes on in Shemayim. There are parallels. There are yeshivas. There are different types of hashkafas. There are different types of ayin panim l'toira. There's diversity in Klal Yisrael. There's achdus in Klal Yisrael. This is mechuvan kineged what goes on in Shemayim. Okay. By the way, these words, Hashem Beheichal Kodshai, I find to be very, very...
Yeah,
it's Habakkuk,
but that's how we start.
Oh, Hashem Beheichal Kodshai, I forgot that. That's fascinating. Habakkuk, that was so much later, which means that Habakkuk plagiarized from David. Hashem Beheichal Kodshai, Tefillah, Haster, how's it again?
Hashem
Beheichal Kodshai,
Hasmi Ponot Kolorot. That's the
first pasuk. First pasuk. That's when you that haftorah on the second day of then you say Yitziv Piskan V'Yohiran. And why do you say that pasuk? That's a whole separate shmuz. And Hashem Mechalifor. I didn't realize that what Chavakuk, who was from. Wait, when did Chavakuk live? Chavakuk. We have to go back. When did?
We have to chart the back.
Not in this one. In Treyasa. In Treyasa, we have to chart back. So. When did Chavakuk live? I don't remember. Some of them, it's not so clear when they live.
Well, certainly after David
Melo. Who says? Interesting. Is that? Yeah, I mean, do we know that? You got to go see. Go look at the chart. You have to go see the Farshim. When exactly did? Because the only reason why I'm asking is because who said it first? David was one thing we know. David was a compiler. David definitely took things from his predecessors. Tefillah l'Moshe. David took from Adam HaRishon. We mentioned this. There are 10 people, there are 10 different composers. in Tehillim. And we assume David was the editor, and David brought into his book works, compositions that were composed by his predecessors. Do we have anywhere in the Nevi'im that they took from their predecessors? Not really. You have one thing in Yeshaya, maybe, where there's two psukim that was from Idoi Hanavi. There are two psukim there. I think it's in Yeshaya. There's a section in Yeshaya that it says that this was not from Yeshaya. This was prophecy from an Idoi, and it was put here because it was only two psukim. It would get lost. So just like in Treyasa, we took all the prophet, we put into one sefer. So there was a Navi, and we put his two psukim of prophecy, which is relevant for Klal Yisrael, we put it in Sefer Yeshaya. But do we find Nevi'im on their own taking from others? Not really. So if you're going to go see that David HaMelech, that Chavakuk came after David, is it a coincidence that they happen to say the same exact expression, Hashem Hechach Hashem? There's no coincidence in prophecy. So maybe, that David...
Did he say that's the Habakkuk?
Well, everything in Habakkuk...
Some of these things that came from Kodesh Baruch Hu, it was, Kodesh Baruch Hu speaking, like Rono.
Okay, the assumption is... The assumption is everything in the Sefer Nevi'im is a form of prophecy. Even though it may be a symbol translated possibly by Yadav HaShem HaMoneh Shalemar, the fact that it's codified, the assumption is every expression is has an element of prophecy to it. And it's fascinating. I didn't realize, I was asking you to say something very amazing. I didn't realize that the David and Habakkuk both said exactly these three words. Who said it first? Did Habakkuk say it first? Did Habakkuk live? Maybe he did. It's not so clear when all these people lived. We know that Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, they lived at the very, very end. We know when Yeshaya lived, because he talks to the kings. He talks to the different thing, he talks to Chizkiyahu. We know when Yechezkel lived. We know when Yirmiyahu lived. But all of the Treyasa in the back of the book there, some of them, also, so what it says there in the back of the book, it's not etched in stone, the different opinions, some of them actually show. So when exactly is there an indication of when Habakkuk lived and who came first? I don't know. Another thing I want to talk about these words of Hashem HaKadoshah is that if you ever go to Emunas Yisrael in Borough Park, the Rav is Rabbi Moshe Wolfson, Shlita, which should be good and well. He on his Aron HaKodesh, what does it say? Many Shulchan Aruch says, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Sameh, or you see Luchos, or you see, or what's the other expression? Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Sameh. Dal lifnei miyato oimei. Those are the two popular ones. Dal lifnei miyato oimei.
All the
Treyasa
happened after
David
HaMelech. All of them.
All of them. That's how they present it.
Obadiah was the first, and okay. Even he came in.
Okay, I'm not denying that. I'm not denying. But
he was
before.
a kid.
But it's not etched in stone. Okay, whatever it is, fine. But so those are the two. We once had a whole discussion, the very big difference between Shavisa Shalom and Summit and Dallas and the Ato Amin. But it's very, I always found it very interesting. I used to spend time there in his shul. And there on the Aron HaKodesh, it says, big, big, beautiful design, Vahashem Behechal Kodeshoy. That's what it says on the top of the Aron HaKodesh. Big, big letters. These words. Hashem, there's the Vav. It's Va. Oh, maybe that's the difference. See, there is a difference.
But, by the way, I was about Korea in Yekesh Shul in Tel Aviv. And Rabbi Anslacher was the Rav there.
Yes.
On the parochet, it says, Vahashem Echal Kodesho Hasi Panav Kol Haaretz. And then nobody.
Silence! Silence! My joke is, how do you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah via Zoom? How do you know? That pasuk has a silence. What is the first thing you say when you go on Zoom? Can everyone please mute yourself? That's the first thing you say when you go on mute. Can everyone please mute yourself? V'Hashem Behechal kodshoi. Has mipanov kol aretz. Silence. Everyone, please mute yourself. See, they had Zoom back then also. They had Zoom back in those days. But any event, so you see there is a difference. See, we've discovered they're not the same. Look at that, they're not the same. David is saying Hashem. Chavakuk says Vahashem. The Vav, Vahashem. There's a world of a difference. What's the difference? I don't know. But I'm confident there must be a world of a difference between Vahashem and Hashem. Maybe after time has passed, maybe Chavakuk was much later. That's the Pashtus. Going back, the previous pasuk. Okay. Okay. So you see, it's interesting. It's not exactly the same. Let me ask you another question. Let's say it would be the same, but let's say the Ta'ame Hamikra is not the same. The Trop is not the same. Is that considered to be a significant difference? There's no plagiarism. Don't tell me that what I said, someone said before me. Well, right, there's a different type of Trop entirely. Right, there's MS. The Ta'ame Hamikra, exactly. The fact is, it's an entirely different Ta'ame Hamikra, a different melody. Everything is completely different. It's not a simple thing. I was learning yesterday, I sort of say that there's a tradition of every single melody that David composed, every single composition, every mizmar, David also composed a melody. He was a composer of music. It's not just the words. There was a melody. We have the Ta'ame Hamikra. Okay, that's one thing. But besides the Ta'ame Hamikra, there were also melodies. Every single melody of David has been lost from us, with the exception of one. And that is a melody you sing Mitzoy Shabbos. Mitzoy Shabbos, I don't have it in front of me. Okay, there's a certain nigun that is part of the Zemirois for Mitzoy Shabbos.
The Targum is different.
Well, there's no Targum on Ksuvim.
Well, you
Targum Yosef. It's not Yom Yonasan.
There's no
Targum Yonasan. There is no Targum Yonasan.
Who wrote this Targum?
It's not Yonasan. There's no Targum.
No,
Chazal.
I don't understand.
Oh, it doesn't say. It's called Targum Yosef. It's called Targum Yosef. It's not a Targum.
It's very different. It's
yeah. There's no real Targum.
In addition to this statement, you have three essays on
Ta'ame
Emes.
Three what?
On Emes. Ta'ame Emes with three introductions. Three little essays
at the beginning of the sermon. On the Ta'ame Emes. But besides the Ta'ame Emes, there's a tradition that all of the melodies are lost with the exception of one. The exception of one. And it's a highly... So then the other thing I think it says, this really struck me very, very, very hard. I never knew this my whole life until the Rabbi Tversky. I was a very big fan of Rabbi Tversky. I used to follow some of his writings. You know, the certain writings, Artscroll didn't want to publish. Artscroll published about probably 95% of his books. There was one book they didn't want to publish called The Rabbi and the Nuns. The Rabbi, it's a great book. Rabbi, he worked in a Catholic hospital. Right. So it's a fascinating book. It's just mind-boggling. The book, how natural he was dealing with goyim, dealing with Catholics. Like today, the average yeshiva guy, you see a Catholic, oh, like you don't even know what to think. You don't even know how you don't.
And they used to go to.
He wrote a book. The book is fascinating. He treated. He was the doctor. He was a therapist, and he treated nuns. He treated many, had many patients who were nuns, and he was very, very good with them, and they loved him.
There's a famous story with Yaakov Kamenetsky and nuns. There was a nun who, you know, spoke.
He said good morning to every morning.
Yeah, he used to say good morning to every day.
And after he passed away, they came, where is he? How come he doesn't come anymore? He passed away. But he was their doctor. Rabbi Tversky was their doctor. It's a fascinating book to learn how to deal with people. Deal with people that are come from a different, they know a different, come from a different world. Incredible insight. So Rabbi Tursky, he, I never knew this, he is the composer of Hoshia Esamecha. Everyone in Klal Yisrael sings this song. Hoshia Esamecha. The whole Klal Yisrael. Lubavitch, Chaim Berlin, the Chaim Berlin, they sing this. They sing this on Hoshana Rabbah,
right.
One of the most beautiful times of the year. On Hoshana Rabbah, when davening is over, they finish Kaddish Yosayim, they sing Hoshia Semecha for 25 minutes. The whole Klal, who doesn't sing Hoshia Semecha? Who doesn't sing? The whole Klal Yisrael. Who composed it? He composed it. And he gave it Savod, that is Levaya. And his Levaya, no his Spadim, they should sing Hoshia Semecha. Unbelievable. And I saw the video. I saw when they were carrying, he died last year, and they carried his body, when they were carrying his body to Kavura, he was surrounded by his family and friends, Savo, and as they were carrying his body to Kavura, you can probably find this right now on YouTube, they were singing Hoshia Semecha. Right, Tursky. He composed Hoshia Semecha. So I saw yesterday, Rabbi Dr. Tursky. And I saw yesterday that there's a principle of when a person passed away, sif soisav dovevois bakeva. His lips murmur in the grave. What does that mean? No one knows what this means, but it basically means ha'imer shmu mipiv. If a person is machadesh chidush etayra, pashup shat. If a person presents chidush etayra, and after the person passes away, someone today will say over his chidushim, will teach his the person in the grave, his lips murmur. Whatever that means, it means whatever that in Shemaim is a nachas ruach. So it says in holy books that the just like there is a din of sif soisav, medavos bekever with regard to Torah, it's also true with regard to melody, nigun. And if a person composes a nigun that brings his oiros to another person, and that person passes away, and his students, his followers, today, they sing that melody, the niftar, who composed that melody, his lips, the same exact principle, sif soisav davidois bakeva. David had the unique distinction. And not only are his words present, okay, he had melodies also. And the legacy is that it's one nigun, there is one melody. I don't know, I'll tell you, I'm sure it's very well known. I don't know anything about music, melodies, one melody, it's a popular melody, and that was composed by David HaMelech. That is the tradition. That's a tradition, and it's interesting that when you recite that mizmah with David's melody, David gets a double whammy. He gets double kefir. Number one, it's his words. It's the shmua. Number two, it's the melody as well. David has that distinction. How many people can you say have the distinction that ha'omer davar shmua mipiv sif soisav davis bakever? There are two dinim. There's a din of the shmua, a din of the nigun. And then you combine the two together, the words with the melody, they go together. It's an unbelievable thing. Getting back over here to this thing, Hashem Beichal.
Is there any important part that hit me now? I'm looking at the title. The first Hashem, he typed Hashem. The second Hashem, Hashem,
Hashem, Hashem, because it doesn't say there is no Hashem in that, he's in those words in. You see, in the past, it owns Hashem once. Hashem. This is what the Targum does. And this time, by the way, this Targum, Ramesh, you are right. I mean, you're right. On Nevi'im, there is Targum. Shrei Asar is part of Nevi'im. We have Targum. Yonason ben Uziel. Kisuvim. I made a mistake.
That's what I thought you meant.
Right. On Nevi'im, we have real Targum. Real Targum we call Targum Yonason ben Uziel. On the entire, on all of Kisuvim, there is no Targum. Why not? Chazal said it. We discussed this once at length. Because of Daniel,
right.
Because since in Sefer Daniel, in Daniel that he wrote there the Kates in the Targum, so what was the obvious question? So just don't translate that one pasuk. Don't translate that pasuk. All of Kisuv has to lose. The old Tehillim has to lose. Just because there's one pasuk that has a secret, everyone has to suffer. So what's the obvious answer? No. Go back to another question. What's the difference between Nevi'im and Ksuvim? Why do we break up between the three parts? Torah, Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Just lump together Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Said, well, David wasn't a Navi. David was a Navi. No one's going to tell you he wasn't a Navi, David HaMelech. He wasn't a Navi. I think Chazal said he was a Navi. So how come Tehillim is not part of the Nevi'im? Why is that part of the Nevi'im? You'll say, because when this thing was not Sal Nevu, it was said Al Pi Ruach HaKodesh. Ah, there are many, many answers. But there's a much more fundamental answer. And that is, in all of Kesuvim, from beginning to end, every single pasuk that's mentioned in Kesuvim is a revelation of Mashiach, of the Kates. Nevi'im is not. In Sifrei Nevi'im, there is absolutely no hint, no remez to the Gu'ul. Nevi'im is Musa. It's pure Musa. Whatever the Nevi'im are saying is shape up. Shape up or ship out. Kisuvim, from beginning to the end, is a revelation of the Gu'ula. Problem is, we don't see it. We're not able to comprehend it. When the Chazal told us about the one pasuk in Daniel, that's just an example. Dover shoyo bechlal, v'yotza min achlal lelamed, loy al atzma yotza, elo lelamed al kol haklal lekulu yotza. When we have one pasuk in Daniel, the Chazal say it cannot be translated because in that one pasuk you know when Mashiach is coming. That's just an example. That pasuk would be explicit. But that's coming to be Megala that the entire Ksuvim has elements of Bias HaMashiach. And therefore, nothing from Sifrei Ksuvim can be translated into with a real Targum, because every single Sefer that's put in the category of Ksuvim is a Gilui in one dimension of where Mashiach is coming. And therefore, there is no Targum Yonas and Ben Uziel on all of Kesuvim. What do we have? We have another Targum, which is on a much, much lower level. So who wrote this Targum? There are different opinions. It's not so clear who wrote it. It's called Targum Yosef. There was a person, a very holy person, called by the name of Yosef, and some say others, but the Targum over here that is over here is not something, is not a Targum in Kesuvim that... Obviously, we couldn't do this. Obviously, this incredible Kedusha, and who knows, probably Tanoim and Aroyim, even before them, wrote this Targum, but it's not on the level of Unkelus, which is Nisinai, and it's not on the level of Yeretz Ben Uziel. So he asked me a question, why is Hashem's name here twice?
The first Hashem, he translates as Hashem.
Eloha b'shmei
Meromim. And I was just glancing through all through. He always does Hashem as Hashem and all colors are God. Over here, he changed the one time the Hashem into an
Eloha. By the way, there is no Hashem here. Hashem in the puzzle does not appear. He's embellishing the puzzle. All it says Hashem beheichal kodshoy. Oh, you're right. In the wheels, it says twice. It says Hashem twice. You're right. I hear. I don't know. Very good.
Right, but by the way,
Hashem Elokim. You know, when you have Hashem twice, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, and Yud Kei Vav Kei, then what do you do? Hashem Elokim.
Right.
Right? So here, is he suggesting that the fact that you have two times the word Hashem,
and he translated it.
And Elokim. Elokim means is really a translation of Elokim. He's putting these two Hashems together, but it's not Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud.
Because
he's
sitting on the
Kisei. The Kisei by Shemayim.
It's a machlokus about where he's sitting. You take a look at the difference in the Mepharshim, the Eben Ezra, and the Malbim, they disagree, and that's the difference between the two times when it's said by Sheba Eichel Kosho. The Eben Ezra says by Shemayim, and over by Habakkuk, it says he's in the Beis HaMikdash. The Eichel Kosho in the Beis HaMikdash is talking.
Right.
The Eben Ezra says it's by Shemayim.
Okay, that's so the Chazal, the Mechilta.
The Malbim says in the Beis HaMikdash.
Okay, different paper. That's what the Chazal said over there, the bottom. We learned on the bottom. In the there are different perushim. What it means is this repetition. What is the purpose of the repetition? Is it just describing the same thing twice in dimension? Describing over here, like the Medrash says, it's teaching you that this world is a powerful lesson. This world is not a junkyard. this world is a microcosm of what goes on in Shamayim. All the different elements that we have in the shul, we have an Aron HaKodesh, we have a Bima, these are examples of what goes on in Shamayim. Okay, Rabbi, so let's now go to the next part. Now we have something which is very important to analyze, the Af Apov. Okay, the Af Apov, we have to see what it means over here, more depth in the Af Apov. Okay, look at the Malbo. Let's jump down to the Malbo. Behechal Kod, show you Pasuk Dalet. Look how the Malbo ties with Af Apov. If you go down, first of all, look over here on the Ber Hamilas on page 96. Einav Avapov, Ha Af Soiger Es Ha'ayin. So immediately we see here the Malbim disagrees with the Mitzudos. Rashi is silent. Rashi doesn't address it altogether, at least not openly. The Mitzudos says Achidush Nifla, because that's not the translation. Avapov means the pupil of the eye. It doesn't say that. That's what the Mitzvah David says. And along comes the Malbim says, no. What in the world are you talking about? The word, the pupil is the Ishoin Bas Oyin. What is the Af Apov? Af Apov is the eyelids. In the Beir Hamilos, Dalit. Enough?
It's not correct because Af Apov is Rabin and Ishoin is single.
Single. Okay.
So
it means two pupils. It would mean two pupils. Two pupils. The left and the right. Two pupils. It means the pupil of the eye. There are two. So it would be. Here he says none. It's not the pupil, it's the lids, which close. So ha af soigere so ayin. Ayin mashe pirashti in yermia. Okay, now let's go over here to the Malm, how he explains over here the word. Ki af apav yivchanu bnei adam ho af apayim heim ha-soigrim es-o-aynayim v'tziyun el-siluk ha-hashkocha. So this is an amazing thing. He's saying over here extremely deep things over here. Hashem in Shemayim sometimes decides v'onoichi haster aster ponan. A person, we have to appreciate, a person is created in the tzelem Elohim. If you want to understand Hashem, look at yourself. Person has hands, person has feet, person has a heart, he has a mind, there are different organs, the kidneys, the lungs. Each one of the things that exist in the human being is a dogma for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants for us to know about him. Hashem is obviously infinite. That goes without saying. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he created the world, he was mitzamtzem. He created Hashem, Kavayachol, he limited himself so that a human being would be able to have an appreciation on our level of who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. And the way he did that was he created us in his image, B'Tselem Elokim. Therefore, every single detail in the human body is a dogma for an element, a dimension of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if we don't understand what it's about, that's our problem. It's a chesaron in us. What's the appendix for? What is the tonsils for? Okay? What is it there for? Today they know. Science has advanced to a very significant degree where they know things that they used to claim was just no purpose. They know what the purpose is. They figured out a lot of things, come to realize a lot of very important things today, what the purpose is. And when you understand what the purpose is in the human body, you can right away make under an appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu does the same thing. Therefore, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us with eyes, we see, Hashem sees everything. If it is part of it's part of the way the eye works is where the eye blinks. What do you mean? When you blink, you're missing out on life. You're not seeing something. If you go to a movie and you walk out for half an hour to go take a telephone call, that's it. The whole movie doesn't make any sense. Go to a shiur, the phone rings, you go out. During davening, the phone rings, you go out. Go to a movie, you don't go out. You just press, you know, because I'm not going to miss these 5 minutes. If I miss this 5 minutes of the movie, hey, I'm not going to know why James Bond did what he did. Okay, you just don't walk out for 5 minutes. So think about it. If the eyelids close for a second, why don't we do it like this? The person lived, let's say, 100 years. Calculate how, and during those waking hours, his eyes are functioning in health, how accumulate all the time, the time when the eye blinks. How many days does it add up to? Okay? I don't know what the numbers are. Probably someone made these calculations. Let's make believe it adds up to a week. Maybe I'm exaggerating. Take all the time when a person is awake and he's blinking. Take all of those blinks, add them up over a span of 100 years. So make believe it comes out to a week. Make whatever it comes out to. That's not fair. You've been cheated of 1 week of your life. So 1 week of your life, you were blind. Why did Hashem do that to us? If Hashem put us in this world to see, and we're awake, and we're seeing, but we're blinking, we're being denied vision, a whole week of our lives was taken away from us. Zelotir. Why did Hashem do that?
To teach you that you don't really see what you see.
Okay, so there are many ideas you can explain. Excellent. The Malm over here is giving us his idea, is to teach you, don't ever forget that what built into this world is Hester upon him. Hashem, for a reason we'll never understand, at times decides, the Onochi Hester Astir Ponai Bayernahu. Hashem hides himself. Where is Hashem? How could this happen? How could it be that this happened? Hashem was not there to protect us, to watch us, to guide us. Hashem, why? That's not for us to understand. But it teaches the fact that the human eye blinks and is denied vision for a few moments is a revelation that there's Hester upon him. And just because the eye blinks for a split second, we also know, doesn't mean Hashem is not there. Hashem is right there, Hashem sees everything. So it blinks for a split fraction of a second. It's there to be megala that built into the DNA of this world is Hester upon him. That's the Malbim. The Malbim here says, it is a marker. It is a revelation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he holds, denies, or at least it makes it appear that he's not paying attention to mankind. Then it appears, he ain't of Sigurim, his eyes are closed. Unbelievable idea what the Malm says. Ma she ma'atzim einov mila hashkiyahu ki al yidei zeh yivchanu to test. Okay, when I first translated this passage, what?
Evaluate.
No, that's the other. Yivchan. Let's read a little further. Yivchanu bnei adam v'yetzei lo'or ma'asei atzadikim im oivdim l'shmoi v'al yidei kach molei lev v'rishom la'asetz ra. Incredible what he says. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he makes believe he does not exist, because that's when a person is truly tested. So when I translate this passage in the very, very beginning, I translate the word, the word Yivchan means to test. What do you mean to test? What is that? It doesn't make any sense in the context. That is right. So that's why the Mitzvah Stav, it says, doesn't mean test.
But if you're performing judgment, then you have to make an evaluation, right?
HaKadosh Baruch Hu is testing.
That he evaluates everyone's actions, and that's what Mishpat is.
So that's a different word. That's like Yivchanu means to evaluate. It's not
to discern.
To discern. So that's a different word. To discern is like a bina. That's version of bina. Beis. What's the test doing there? I don't know. The way the Mitzudah is David translated the word Yivchanu means the Kadosh Baruch Hu, he scrutinizes, he monitors, he examines. That's a different word than to test. So if you learn like the Mitzvah, the word afapov means
to test. The same thing.
It's similar, it's related, but it's not exactly the same. If you learn the word afapov means the pupil of the other, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is looking. He's looking to scrutinize, to examine, to uncover the MS, what's going on in this world. But if you learn the word afapov means he closes his eyes. When the teacher walks out, no one's watching you, then you're being tested. Who are you really? Are you an honest person or are you a ganav? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it appear gives you an opportunity to get away with the crime, it makes it seem like that is when the tzaddikim shine and the rishaim reveal their true colors, when no one is watching. So according to the Malbim, he's taking this is a very profound idea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu builds into the Bria Hester Panim, because when there's Hester Panim, it gives me an opportunity to prove, who is he really? No one is watching. Am I going to be a Tzaddik or a Rasha? Unbelievable Shah on the Pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he looks, he sees, but he blinks. Hashem blinks. Hashem has eyelids. Hashem blinks. When I was starting this today, I was thinking, this is my shot, this is a different shot. Now what we did with Matsudas, Rashi, and the Malbim. You know, many of these parenting books, and not that I look at these books, but everything you come over to say, they people like to write these magazines. They write a lot about parenting, about children, and there's a certain topic which somehow I find very, to me, I just find it very interesting. Is it a good idea? It's very healthy. This is what they write, the psychologists. Allow children to have secrets. Secrets. You have a child, but you're going to go put a camera every corner of your house. You're going to know every little thing a child does. You have a 10-year-old kid. If you really want, you can monitor him. You could know every little drop, every last thing that he does. Put on him a GPS tracking device in his clothing. And have a camera in every corner of the house and go through everything that he does. Is that a problem? And people you can do this. And there are parents that actually do this. Is that a healthy thing? Or is it a healthy thing for a parent to create an environment that allows children to have secrets? Give them space. Of course, a child is a child. You have to be very careful. Everything is a balance. And many people will tell you, yes, it is. It's very healthy. A person needs to have secrets. That's part of the human condition. Person needs, not everything in this world is perfect. Not everything has to be exposed to the entire world. A person, you know, he does averos. Okay, he does averos. You learn how to deal with averos. It's part of life, learning how to deal with averos. To cope with sin. A person has learned, there's an incredible book by, I think it's Rabbi Cohen, Secrets of the Soul. I took it home yesterday. A secret, there was a Haredi psychologist in Eretz, where he passed away a couple of years ago, and he was one of a kind. And he had training by Rav Isaac Sher. Incredible, incredible stuff. He was a Haredi psychologist with no training, no professional training, and the whole world came to him. The Chilonim, the government, he was hired by the government to deal with prisoners, to deal with old in the Knesset. He was super brilliant to understand in understanding the human condition. And one of his big things is the person has to learn how to cope with sin. It's healthy. You have to learn how to deal with it. Having secrets is a healthy element in this world. This pasuk tells us that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants man to have secrets. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he knows everything, Hashem. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what does he do in Shemayim? Hashem Eichel Kodesho, Hashem Bashemayim Kiso, Einov Yechezu. But by design, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he blinks. He looks the other way. He doesn't want to, he makes believe that you're getting away with it. Not that you're getting away with it, no one gets away with nothing. There's din for everything that a person does. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates in this world a setting where people have secrets. People have secrets. Nothing, of course, there are different dimensions. Hashem obviously knows everything. But he lets man feel that there are certain things I carry in my heart and no one knows. And Hashem, for the moment, until I do teshuvah, until the day of reckoning comes, like Hashem, he closed his eyes. People do, there are teachers and you have a student that does the wrong thing. Not everything a student or a child does do you have to punish him for. Do you have to acknowledge he did this aveira? Every little thing that he did, okay, I'm going to give you a reward for this, and for this I caught you and you're going to be punished. It's healthy. There are things, you know what, we're not going to talk about. You know what you did. There's no need for us to discuss this. You're a healthy person who's maturing, developing. You on your own know. You have in your account things that need to be taken care of. And you'll take care of it in the right time, in the right place. I'm going to give you space. Hashem has eyelids, closes his eyes for moments to give a person space in this world to let him deal with his issues in a healthy way, in the right time and the right place. Okay, so El Nil Maskana, three different translations for the word, for this word. We have the Mitzudais, which is shocking. He says it means the pupil of the eye, which is a shocking translation. And then it's just more poetic repetition. Of course, there's depth in this. Hashem, he scrutinizes, he analyzes, he sees everything. Then we have the Malbum. The Malbum is saying it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he blinks, which means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he hides himself so that he can test people to see if they're really honest, see and let the tzaddikim shine. And then we have a little bit of a drush trying to suggest nothing compared to the Kadmai, the Rashi, don't hold a candle to it's an understatement, obviously. But a drush is a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives man space in this world. And that is something which many psychologists acknowledge is very healthy and very necessary to allow children to at least think that they have secrets and no one else knows about. Today, you know, in the government, the whole world, there's the approach of super control, super duper control. Every little thing you do, you're monitored. A person needs space. A person.
I see something, you know.
Yeah.
I see something in this pasuk. It's very interesting. Hashem be'echad kotzo, Hashem b'shamayim kiso, enav yechadu. He sees everything because he's there. He sees everything, the whole world, in one shot. Then. אף אפעם יבחנו בני אדם, השגחה אישית, כלל.
השגחה כלולס, השגחה פרטס.
Pratis. He sees the whole thing.
So you're breaking up the passing into two parts. Very good.
Into his heart even.
There's no place that escapes Hashem's scrutiny. So you, Rav Kalman is saying a beautiful mahalach in the pasuk. The first is A B. There's hashkacha klolis and there's hashkacha pratis. There's the big picture and then there are the minute details. Hashem echel kodshoi. Hashem, that's the hashkacha klolis. Hashem hashemayim kisoi. That's the prat. When you sit down, you concentrate. Einav yechazu. This is the klolis, the whole world, the hashkach klolis, and then afapav yivchanu bnei adam, the hashkach pratis, every single person, every single detail. Beautiful. Okay, we're going to stop over here. We'll take a short break.
The first shot that you gave is basically what the Barmanel says on the red
to test.
Says, I'm testing you.
I'm going to make it appear for one moment.
Wait for a split second, and you'll see what happens.
Excellent.